Good afternoon. You're listening to Health and Wellness Solutions on AM 700, KSEV, the voice of Texas, brought to you by the Hotze Health and Wellness Center. I'm Jennifer Johnson, and today your host is Dr. Donald Ellsworth. How are you, Dr. Ellsworth?
Jennifer, fantastic. I'm looking forward to today. We're joined today by Dr. Mark Sorensen, and we had the pleasure of reading Dr. Sorensen's book on vitamin D. Was it 2 months ago?
I think 2 or 3 months ago.
And, you know, as an organization, we all read a book and do a book report, which is a lot of fun. It's a great discipline to keep up because a lot of folks get out of the habit of reading educational books once they get out of their educational process. And I was really impressed with your book, Dr. Sorensen. You really, in a very concise way, showed how important vitamin D is and really exploded a lot of the myths that are there about a lot of people misunderstand this sunshine vitamin that we all need, yet typically do not get nearly enough of. And I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ellsworth. Great to be with you today.
Well, you are an amazing man. You know, you have your National Institute of Fitness, which is one of the top health resorts in the world. And your work and your resort has been featured around the world. And in fact, I understand that on the recommendation of Senator Orrin Hatch, a flag was actually flown over the United States Senate building in honor of your contributions to health and fitness to the citizens of the United States, which is, wow, that's just remarkable. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. You know, if you work long enough and hard enough, finally somebody will recognize that you did something, I think.
Yeah, and it's just fascinating. You know, you mentioned, you've won the State Open Weightlifting Championship, racquetball tournamentship winner, World Senior Games champion, marathon finisher. You know, you pedaled from Phoenix, Arizona to Fairbanks, Alaska, only 4,000 miles. And you've gone from Maui, Hawaii to the top of, is it Mount Haleakala?
Haleakala.
Okay, yeah. That was 38 miles in a climb of 10,000 feet. Basically, you're obviously an avid athlete, and you're passionate about health and fitness personally and getting that word out. How did you get interested in this whole area of vitamin D?
Well, I'll try to make a long story short because it developed very slowly. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, right on the Utah-Nevada border, and this part of Nevada is nothing like Las Vegas. It's a lot very cold in the winter, high country around 6,000 feet, lots of snow in the big mountains that are around us and such. And I noticed that all winter long when I was a kid, I was sick. I got colds and flu, basically, and they just continued coming one after another. Mm-hmm. Then we start the farm work. I was on the farm, and we start the farm work in about May, and we'd work, you know, until about September, October. Those months, I never had a sniffle. I never had anything. And I thought, you know, it's got to be the heat. Talked to my parents, said, we need to move to some place that's a lot warmer than this because I don't want to be sick. I'd like to be in warm weather. What I didn't realize, it was the sun shining on me and building vitamin D, which was producing particular natural antibodies in my body against flu viruses in the summer. I didn't know anything about that. I just knew there was something. And little by little, as I went through the health resort, moved to a warm climate to do the health resort, noticed that I was better. Of course, we changed nutrition too. But I just got more and more interested in what it was. Finally, I looked at a couple of studies on PubMed about cancer and vitamin D and sunlight and so forth clear back in 93, and that really turned me on. Then I started reading medical journals by the dozens about the particular subject, and that's kind of how I arrived here, I guess.
It is, you know, vitamin D is really almost too good to believe. You know, when you go through your book, it just you realize this is, you know, if this free nutrient is able to make us strong, keep us from getting sick, it helps make us smarter, makes us upbeat. We're going to avoid the infections, reduce the risk of cancer, heart disease. And, you know, I'm looking for the study that's going to show that it makes us better looking and reduces our taxes. I mean, it really is incredible.
That's great.
But, you know, vitamin D is misunderstood. And one of the reasons for vitamin D being low in so many of us is the fact that we work long hours. But the medical community has fostered a lot of misunderstanding about the sun and the concerns about the sun exposure. Could you elaborate on that, Dr. Sorensen?
Yes, well, particularly, you know, a particular segment of the medical community, particularly the dermatological community, has done that. Most of them are supported by sunscreen manufacturers, both in the medical schools and in the businesses and so forth. So we get a lot of the misinformation coming from them because they almost have to continue to walk down that line that they've been taking for so long to keep funded. But even they are changing. There's a dermatologist in our little area now that says if you want to prevent melanoma, then for goodness sakes, get out and get a tan.
Wow, good for him.
The medical community has done a lot of this, but, you know, they are really waking up. I know quite a few physicians now who are really pushing the fact that people need vitamin D and sunlight. What's amazing to me, Dr. Ellsworth, is that we see so many studies coming out now on sunlight per se.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin D is no panacea, nor is it a vitamin. But it is the closest thing probably to a panacea or a vitamin that we'd ever have. And I like an analogy, if we have a couple minutes here, to explain why vitamin D can do so many things. I like to use the analogy that, let's say we did a big experiment in the United States of America and we decided that somehow we would take everybody off water. Not all of it, but just enough to keep them from thirsting to death. We'd give them just a little bit. So they're nearly starving for water all the time.
Hmm.
What we would find out is very quickly, you know, that hair would start to fall out, the skin would start to flake off, the eyes would go blind, the hearing would go, the heart would go into palpitations. All of these horrible things would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all of a sudden, we go and we give them back water and we hydrate them perfectly. And you know what happens? Everybody gets well. The same thing has happened with vitamin D.
Right.
Vitamin D is a natural steroid hormone. It's not a vitamin at all. And it's been taken away from us by the people who would scare us out of the sun. Plus our lifestyles where the kids stay in and play video games and watch TV, all of these things that are indoor activities, including our jobs. So what has happened, we are starving to death for vitamin D, have been for a long time. And we're getting all kinds of diseases. We're looking at 2,000 to 3,000 genes now that this steroid hormone, vitamin D, will control. And we don't have the sunlight to produce it. We really are getting ourselves in trouble. So now, when we start to give people their vitamin D back, miracles, what I call, well, not really miracles, but we get well at any rate.
Right. And our practice is built around the idea of putting back in what's missing, and when folks need detoxification, working on that. And we often use bioidentical hormones, and that is why vitamin D is so central to what we do, as we look at it as one of the most important hormones for our health, and we certainly cannot be healthy without it. You have some great information on your website, which I believe, was it vitamindoc.org or .com?
Yes.
And you're really informative blog there at drsorensenblogspot.com. What's fascinating about this whole area is the fact that the medical community has been largely ignorant. You know, Dr. Sorensen, I remember in medical school mainly learning about the effects vitamin D, which is becomes hormone D, has on the absorption of calcium and phosphorus and bone metabolism. And that was largely the end of the story. There was nothing about the fact that it has a huge part with our immune system and immunomodulating, and low vitamin D makes you have more autoimmune diseases like MS, as that's been clearly shown to have a strong correlation. The fact that it's anti-inflammatory, and that even chronic conditions like osteoarthritis typically hurt a lot less when you optimize your vitamin D, that it has a strong anti-proliferative effect, and you're going to have a much lower risk of cancer if you have good vitamin D. If you do have cancer, your outcome is typically significantly better. If you have a higher vitamin D level, your neurologic function is better with vitamin D, and it stimulates the nerve growth factor in keeping our brain healthy, avoiding Alzheimer's. And in fact, you've noted in your blog the connection between low vitamin D and autism and ADHD-like behavior, and the animal studies that show the abnormal interactions of the mice when they're the rats when they are deprived of vitamin D. And you can just see very clearly that a lot of what doctors see on a day-in and basis, things that are just common clinical conditions, are almost all, to some degree, made worse because we're a population greatly deprived of vitamin D. And you were talking about the fact that the medical community has really misled us in the fact that we've been really taught to be vampires. It would be a way to say it in its extreme form, because we really are taught to cover up, put that sunscreen on, keep it out. You know, we're made to be afraid of the sun, which is kind of funny because photophobia is a different meaning. But we really are taught to be almost afraid to get any sunlight, whereas when we do deprive ourselves of this essential hormone, we are not going to be nearly as healthy as we could be. And this is all something we can be getting free, at least in most locations, certainly in the area of Texas we're in now. But, you know, this is really a remarkable situation. Yet, how much I wanted to ask you several questions specifically about how to get enough vitamin D. You know, for those who are sitting there thinking, okay, now I'm convinced vitamin D is important, how does one get enough vitamin D? What would be your general recommendation?
Well, first of all, you want vitamin D3 if you're going to take it as a supplement.
Right.
Of course, you know, there's so much argument over what's enough and what's too much and so forth. The IOM report, you're probably...
Yeah, that was quite a disaster from what I couldn't believe they put together that document with so many conflicting thoughts in it.
Yeah, that was some of the... That set things back quite a ways, but that's being overcome because we have such a proliferation of research that continues to show that you need higher amounts of vitamin D to be well.
Right.
Of course, my idea is always, when you can, you get your sun at noon, basically, and that produces your vitamin D. In a place like Texas, where most of the year you're going to have vitamin D out of the sun, that's probably the best way to do it. A place like Utah, where I am right now, we get it about 9 months of the year. The other 3 months, you either have the choice of going to a tanning bed or other type of sun lamp, or you would use your vitamin D supplementation. Vitamin D3 is what you need. You, in my opinion, almost all people need about 5,000 international units a day. So that's, you know, you can order that. I don't know if you sell it there at your station.
We do, and that's the typical dose I start people on is 5,000, because when we checked levels and started going up on the dose, we noticed that you didn't see much of a change in the blood level given 1,000 or 2,000. It was only as you got towards 5,000 that you started seeing them moving towards the optimal zone, which is usually the top of the range, and some people need more, but it does need to be monitored. But, you know, that is interesting that the prescription form of vitamin D that a lot of doctors write for is D2, which is not human hormone D. It's what plants and fungi make, which I think highlights the confusion that the medical community has about hormones in general, because we don't know the difference between the vitamin D that we make and the vitamin D that's made in the plant world.
Yes, interesting. Also, not only is it the prescription form, it is also the form that they use in milk, of course, to fortify milk.
I did not realize that.
You know, if you're going to talk about 5,000 international units a day and vitamin D2 not only being not natural, but only about 40% is effective in keeping vitamin D levels high, I figured out that meant that to get your 5,000 units a day of effective vitamin D for milk, you'd only have to do probably 150 glasses a day of milk.
Wow.
So that'd probably do you a lot more damage.
Absolutely. And in fact, speaking of milk, which, you know, early exposure to cow's milk has been linked with type 1 diabetes because of the antibodies produced. One of the things you can do for type 2 diabetes is actually optimizing vitamin D. Talk a little bit about the fact that insulin resistance and vitamin D, hormone D.
Yes, absolutely. Insulin resistance is very, very closely related. One study showed that over a period of a year or two, I don't remember, nor do I have a study right in front of me, that people who had the beginning stages of insulin resistance were something like 18 times as likely to get full-blown insulin resistance over that time if their vitamin D levels were low versus if their vitamin D levels were considered high.
Mm.
And I wish I had that with me because I can't remember what they defined as being high. That's all over the board, too. But it was a very impressive thing. And there's no doubt that people who have the highest vitamin D levels are much less likely to get type 2 diabetes, all else being equal, of course. We know, you and I both know, that a high-fat, high-sugar, no-vegetable diet is also a major cause. The obesity is a major cause. But if we can get the vitamin D levels high, I often look at vitamin D, to a certain extent, as a great antidote for all the poisons we're stuffing down. Have you ever thought about that?
That is so true. The whole ability of our immune system to work better. Talk more about that. In what ways does vitamin D help us deal with environmental toxins?
Well, environmental toxins, I'm thinking right now about vitamin D as working with the immune system.
Right.
We know that vitamin D helps the immune system, the white blood cells and so forth, to produce a product called cathelicidins, which I'm sure you've read about. And
yes,
those cathelicidins
covered that.
Are natural antibiotics.
Right.
John Cannell's work was one of the first to show that people who actually took a fairly large quantity of vitamin D, in one case, had no colds or flu at all in the wintertime.
Right.
And hardly any in the summer, because the cathelicidins are there to help engulf and kill. They literally poke holes in the walls, you might say, of viruses. Also do with bacteria and so forth. So it's amazing what vitamin D will do. That's just one more thing, just the immune system being enhanced.
And, you know,
it also, the latest thing I saw is it also enhances natural killer cells. And I haven't read a lot about that study, but you may have. I don't know, but
I personally, you know, was just taking vitamin D, and I wasn't worried about the flu because the data is so clear that if your D is where it needs to be, that's so much stronger than than immunizations and infinitely safer. Your fitness center is one of the top destination resorts, and you've really mastered the idea of getting healthy and in natural ways. And vitamin D is one of those areas that we've often overlooked. And vitamin D is something that we can get free. It becomes one of the most important hormones in our body. And yet we have been using sunscreen. And you mentioned in your book, Dr. Sorensen, that as sunscreen use increased 18-fold, the rate of melanoma has increased 3-fold. And yet the expectation, of course, would be as we're covering up that we would be seeing less and less melanoma. What's the discrepancy there?
It is interesting. The discrepancy is that everybody was wrong about melanoma in the first place. There are a couple things with melanoma. It now appears that much of the melanoma increase is simply the assessment of benign lesions as being melanoma when they aren't. We have a tremendous increase in the number of dermatologists worldwide, and some of them, however, in Britain are waking up saying we need to get out in the sun at midday. Can you believe that?
Two wow.
different dermatological societies now have come out. They still are saying that it creates melanoma, so be careful. But they think it's better to go out at midday, get yourself some sunlight, and then cover up the rest of the day, because if you expose a lot of skin, then you've got a high amount of vitamin D coming in. So that's a big step in the right direction, even though they haven't gone all the way. But Dr. Schuster, writing the British Journal of Dermatology, presents some compelling evidence that melanoma has not increased at all, and that all of the increase is simply that diagnosis of benign lesions as being melanoma. But let's suppose that is not true. Let's suppose that melanoma is increasing like crazy. The Melanoma International Foundation states that since 1935, melanoma has increased by 30 times. That's a 3,000% increase that we're talking about there.
Wow.
During that time, this is new information that would not be in the book. I have looked at some information from the government and found out that we probably get about one-fifth, and that's very conservative, one-fifth the amount of sunlight that we did back in 1935 right
now.
Wow. Now, so what that says to me is that we have one-fifth the amount of sunlight and 30 times the risk of getting melanoma at this particular time. And you know what? The Melanoma International Foundation must realize that, and yet they still say, well, what we need to do is get people out of the sunlight and slap
wow.
them with sunscreen. There is such a big disconnect. This is one of the most counterintuitive statements that I have ever heard in my life. And
wow.
it keeps coming, but like I say, even the dermatologists, many of the good ones, are beginning to wake up. And I think that we've got some better research coming out of the dermatological societies in the future.
And so the evidence is very clear that as vitamin D levels go up, the rate of cancer goes down. You get sun exposure, you have a stronger immune system, you have less cancer. And you pointed out something that I was not aware of, Dr. Sorensen, and that's that the sun exposure that can lead to the typically benign type of cancers, the squamous cell and basal cell, is strongly associated with the intake of polyunsaturated fatty acids like corn oil and the vegetable oils that have been hydrogenated. And if we're not ingesting those really fake oils, those toxic oils, sun exposure doesn't typically lead to problems, even with those benign problems.
Well, I think that's true, and I think we have to take that one step further beyond the noxious oils, and that is that another thing that we don't do a lot of anymore is eat our dark vegetables and our colorful fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Those things also can help prevent melanoma, squamous cell carcinoma, basal cell carcinoma, all of those. We need to have high-nutrient diets, which I know from listening to you is one of your big topics.
Yes.
You've got to have high nutrients. Too.
Exactly.
People would simply start eating correctly, get those noxious fats out, and eat vegetables, 7, 8, 9 helpings a day of vegetables and colorful fruits, we wouldn't have a problem. I do tell you that I believe this. If you are going to eat junk and you're going to go out and sun yourself, a lot of things are going to be improved, less cancer, lots of other things, but it probably will do more damage to your skin than it would otherwise. You have to eat correctly. It all fits together in one big puzzle. We can't take out just one part and say, hey, this cures everything.
Well, and, you know, the more health problems somebody has, the often the less likely they are to go outside. You know, you think of the elderly. You think of children that have a problems, the epilepsy or cerebral palsy, or you think about many conditions where people are just frail. There's a lot of reasons we're not going to get enough sun exposure, yet those are the very people that need it the most. Children, talk a little bit about the ADHD-like situation kids develop when they're low in vitamin D, which is a huge problem, obviously. We're drugging kids in many cases because they're not getting enough omega-3 fish oils and they're deficient in their vitamin D, and we're giving them stimulants instead of treating the root issue.
Yes, I know that you've read my book about some of the animal studies and such, and when the animals are born to rats born to vitamin D deficient mothers, dams as they call them, you know, they exhibit all kinds of interesting behavior, which is like what you were just mentioning, ADHD, inability to go through a maze correctly. Their IQs go down.
Right.
And I'm absolutely convinced that if we were to do a study on IQ, we would find out that kids with the lowest IQs would have the lowest vitamin D levels in the body also. So it makes a lot of difference. One of the things that we know, going back to autism again, which is a brain problem, is that mothers who are vitamin D deficient are going to be much more apt to have an autistic child. Mm. That's because the fetal brain cannot develop properly without vitamin D. It's absolutely impossible. So if a woman has been scared out of the sun and is not taking the vitamin D or is taking a minuscule amount like the IOM suggested,
right,
600 IU, then she's going to bear a child that has a good chance of being autistic. And if not autistic, at least the brain is not going to function at that high level that it would otherwise with vitamin D. And, of course, you can see that if the brain is affected, everything like ADHD is going to be affected with it.
Well, and that is tragically, if when a baby is born highly to a mom that's highly deficient, that seems to have some permanent changes because they're actually lacking the vitamin D receptors. And so there's, I think that's a critical message for women of childbearing age to be aware of just how critical vitamin D is. And of course, a lot of the chronic diseases that we live with could be greatly improved in coronary artery disease. Those with good vitamin D levels, 2.4 times less likely to have heart attacks.
Exactly.
Blood pressure lowering. There's an angiotensin 2 blocking-like effect with vitamin D, so you can lower our blood pressure naturally. Mood, very common problem. How many people see doctors for depression? Getting your vitamin D optimized, much less likely to have problems with both depression and bipolar disorder, and of course even seasonal affective disorder. And again, these are all easy things to address, yet so many people think that they're taking enough vitamin D because their multi has 400 to 600 international units in it. I hear that all the time, Dr. Sorensen, and I think that that is a message that hasn't been clear, that the therapeutic dose of vitamin D is not just a few hundred international units. It's typically 5,000 or more, but we do highly recommend that you have regular levels monitored, and the correct test is the 25-hydroxy vitamin D level, because I have heard of some people hearing about vitamin D and starting to take enormous doses, taking 20,000 or more every day, and then can actually get into trouble because there is a limit to how much your body needs. But generally, people err on the other side, don't they? They typically take way too little. But it is something that I want people to be aware of, that vitamin D does have a range, and you can overdo it. And I've seen people occasionally on their own start taking way too much. But as long as you're using reason, it's really not hard to avoid that problem.
Right. And the way I like to have people think about it is that if you go out in the sunlight summertime, and you stay there about 20 minutes on each side of your Caucasian, you can produce up to 20,000 international units of vitamin D. Beyond that, you're not going to produce anymore. The body is going to destroy it as fast as it comes in. That should show us right there that 20,000 should be the absolute top limit. And after a few days in developing a tan, that will probably drop to about 10,000 a day. So I think 10,000 a day is good for most people. But as you said, you're monitoring them. You're taking the blood tests, and you're taking a look at what their vitamin D levels are. And you find out we're finding that there's so much variation from person to person now. One may take 5,000 international units and gets a blood level of 50 nanograms per milliliter. The same person takes 5,000 and may only get 30 nanograms per milliliter.
Right.
Actually needs to get close to 10,000 to get up around 50 or 60, which is what I look at now. I know a lot of people are saying 60 to 80 now, but I think that I would err on the side of going about 50 to 70, right in that area. Anyway, but the fact that you're monitoring those, that's good, because every person is different. We can't throw everyone in the same box, vitamin D-wise, as far as supplementation is concerned. You know, if you've got a minute here,
sure.
I would like to tell you something that happened that I found out about just a week ago. I had a friend whose daughter was having horrible pains in the bones. Her joints were hurting, her head was hurting. She was so bad that they gave her morphine, codeine, everything that you can imagine to try and help her just to stand the pain, and she couldn't. So they finally had to not only use all those drugs, but they put her on the heaviest dosages of sleeping pills.
Oh,
and finally
goodness.
She could be kind of in a state of suspended animation almost, but she could stand herself. And a fellow had read my book, and he talked to the woman's or the mother, and he said, "You know, your daughter probably needs some vitamin D. Please read this chapter on pain." And she did, and they loaded her up with vitamin D for 3 days, and everything went away. The pain was
wow.
gone in 3 days. These doctors have been working with her for years, and never took a vitamin D test.
Wow.
That's a horror.
Wow. This is an expensive
test.
We've
seen a lot of bone. Of course, everybody knows that it helps the bone. But I had a lady who was actually a massage therapist down at the Venetian Hotel in Vegas who came to work for us doing some domestic work for a while, and she was using crutches, and she was having all sorts of problems with her bones and joints. She said that she had to quit the business because as she was doing massages, that her clavicles, literally, she could feel them shift. She thought they were going to snap or pop out of place, and so she gave that up. And we took her vitamin D levels, and they were at a 6.
Oh, my goodness.
So obviously what she had was adult rickettsial osteomalacia.
Wow.
And after getting to about 45, she does massage therapy now. She can get out and walk. No problem with crutches, nothing. It's amazing what will happen if you don't have something that you need in the body, and suddenly you get it. Things can improve.
Dr. Sorensen, you have a National Institute of Fitness. Tell how can folks find out about that?
Let me tell you, I'm going to mention that to you. We are not right in that business at this time.
Oh, you're not?
No, we had that for a long, long time, and then we sold the business, and we are about to get back into the business, it looks like. We'll be working with some people who were Dancing with the Stars people, in fact.
All right.
And we are probably going to be working with them. Hopefully we'll start out this fall and do it again. But we did sell that business. I stayed on until about 1997, and then we traveled around, and we did a few retreats and so forth. We have our Nevada ranch and such where we did something. But we will be – we can't get that information out right now because we don't have it. We're not sure exactly when we'll start, but we think sometime in October.
Okay, very good. And, of course, more information about vitamin D, folks can go to vitamindoc.com. And, again, a very informative website, and your blog has a lot of great information, a lot of detail about studies. Your book, Vitamin D3 and Solar Power for Optimal Health. Any other resources where folks who are listening and thinking, I'd really like to find out more, what else can you recommend?
Here's another one, sunlightinstitute.org. That's my latest. And where we really look, we look at some vitamin D research, but we're really looking now at the research that's pouring in on sunlight and UV per se. And some very interesting things are coming out there. In fact, I just posted the blog, both on my blog and on sunlightinstitute.org. I don't know if you saw that, that showed that at all ages, those who get the highest sunlight exposure have dramatically reduced risk of breast cancer. 29% in those, I believe, that were teenagers, ranging up to a 50% reduced risk in those over 50. So it's and that just was, they didn't measure vitamin D, they didn't measure sunlight exposure per se. Very interesting, since they're trying to tell kids that they've got to stay out of the sun now. Be sure to stay out of the sun. Don't burn yourself. Don't do anything. Use your sunscreen. And then we see that those kids who are in the sun have a dramatically reduced risk of getting breast cancer as they age.
Well, it'd be great if we could change the icon for fighting breast cancer to be something with sunlight and maybe some cruciferous vegetables and maybe some iodine-rich foods and something related to progesterone. There's a lot of things out there that we already know are very potent and important at fighting cancer, particularly breast cancer, and most women are not aware of it, and we're not emphasizing that enough in the medical community, that we already have powerful tools that are important for prevention. They're not making just a small difference, and the statistics with vitamin D and cancer are sometimes dramatic. Like with colon cancer, there's been up to a 70% reduction in the rate of developing colon cancer with vitamin D. Prostate cancer and breast also.
Absolutely. Did you read about the prostate cancer studies? Dr. Moon, his study showed that men who sunbathed regularly had about an 80% reduced chance of prostate cancer. Phew. And little boys,
wow,
who had actually, we never advocate sunburn, but they measured sunburn as a measurement for sunlight exposure, vitamin D and so forth. They found out it was about 81%. If the kids are sunburned, little boys are sunburned as kids, they had about an 81% reduced chance of ever getting a prostate cancer.
Wow.
So maybe the prostate cancer is absolutely the highest that you can prevent with vitamin D and sunlight.
And that certainly fits with everything we know. And same thing with MS. We know that the rate of multiple sclerosis tends to get higher as you go up in latitude, where the sun's rays are going to be less abundant, coming in at more of an angle. And there's evidence that when you optimize vitamin D, autoimmune diseases tend to calm down, including MS. And again, these are all very common conditions and very serious conditions, yet we can prevent them with something that's free or easy to address with just a simple supplement and intermittent testing. This is one of the most remarkable things I've seen in my medical career is how important vitamin D is. And I found myself just almost with my mouth open when I was learning about vitamin D at a functional medicine conference and realizing I cannot believe I'm learning this much about something that's been around forever. And we've been so slow to actually research things that you cannot patent and sell as a drug. And the medical community and the public is suffering because of that. But yet vitamin D is one of those key things for health. Any other final thoughts? You had some great examples, Dr. Sorensen, about things that were of some life stories that were transformed. The lady that with osteomalacia, other things that you've actually personally had a chance to see.
Well, lots with bone, of course, because that'll happen so fast.
Right.
We have people who have gone on vitamin D for a short time or gone out in the sunlight, and suddenly they don't seem to have asthma anymore. Asthma is a big thing. You're seeing a lot of research on that as it relates to vitamin D and sunlight. Big studies in the last week.
We were just talking about that during the break, and that's fascinating.
We had some people show up that had asthma actually for years, taking 5 or 6 inhalers per day, and after being in the southern Utah sunlight and walking, in June and July and so forth, getting a lot of midday sun and such, they
absolutely did not have to take those inhalers anymore. The need for inhalers disappeared. They'd be careful and carry them with them, but they didn't have to use them.
That is fantastic.
And you mentioned MS. So, you know, you talked about the northern climes having more and it decreasing as you went to southern climes. It actually, MS pretty well disappears 100% of the equator.
Wow. You know, these are diseases that the typical interventions are rather poor. You know, they're strong immunomodulators, extremely expensive, and yet we're seeing the powerful effects of vitamin D, which becomes hormone D in our body. And this is something that physicians are starting to pay more attention to, yet we're seeing in the medical literature, as you mentioned, the Institute of Medicine had a lot of confusion in their report and a lot of statements that weren't even backed up, and they seemed to be ignoring all the abundance of research that was very clear-cut. And I think I'm not sure where they're coming from. I don't really understand what kind of influences are going on that would cause such confusing documents to be released. But I have to wonder if there isn't some intentionality in somebody's part to make it harder for people to understand how clear this is, that it's one of the most dramatic ways you can keep from getting really sick. And if you want to stay away from doctors and enjoy a long, healthy life, vitamin D's got to be a part of it.
You're absolutely right. The IOM decision was interesting in that they had 14 of the best vitamin D scientists in the world they decided to call on before they made their recommendations, and then did not take any research or any recommendations from those 14 experts at all. They totally ignored them.
Yeah. The agenda type things. It's pretty clear something was going on there, and there was maybe a pretense that was made to say that we consulted with everybody, but obviously, when you read the document, I found myself just shaking my head and saying, "What are these people? Are obviously have some agenda that goes way beyond the research, because no one sitting down and reading the studies would ever come up with some of the statements that were made." So, I think basically the best thing for folks to do would be to pick up your book and do their own research, because you'll find yourself being convinced and seeing the data is really not confusing at all. It's very clear. Dr. Mark Sorensen, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for getting the word out about vitamin D.
Thank you, Dr. Ellsworth. It's been a pleasure being on with you today.
Likewise.
And again, you can visit his website at www.vitamindoc.com. You've been listening to Health and Wellness Solutions on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas, brought to you by the HOTSE Health and Wellness Center. For more information, visit HOTSEHWC.com and give a wellness coordinator a call today at 281-698-8698. I'm Jennifer Johnson. Thank you, Dr. Ellsworth.
Let's go out and get some sunlight, and let's be praying for our nation.